Nobody got it right yesterday. Ben Bernanke's little Wednesday afternoon bombshell.
The committee decided today to keep the target range for the federal funds rate at 0 to 1/4% and to make no change in either its asset purchase program or its forward guidance regarding the federal funds rate target.
The Federal Reserve voted 9-1 to maintain what Fed Chair Ben Bernanke calls there the asset purchase program. It's also known as the stimulus or quantitative easing. It means that the central bank will continue to support the economy by buying $45 billion in bonds each month and $40 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities. The program began under Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke in 2008, and virtually every observer believed that Bernanke would announce a gradual reduction yesterday in the purchases with the intent of ending them entirely by the middle of next year. The surprise pushed global markets into the stratosphere in a now typical short-term reaction. But what's the long game here? Joining us now is Sheila Bair. Ms. Bair was the chairwoman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation from 2006 to 2011 and is the author of Bull by the Horns, Fighting to Save Main Street from Wall Street and Wall Street from Itself. Sheila Bair, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
Let's talk about the sort of buried headline yesterday. Bernanke really was saying that the economy isn't doing as well as they had expected over at the Fed. He actually was predicting lower growth than he was saying just a few months ago.
Right. Well, it's ironic and a little bit self-contradictory. Quantitative easing really isn't working, and it isn't really helping the economy. We've been doing this for several years now. They're approaching $4 trillion. Of these bonds on their balance sheets, and it's creating tremendous financial asset bubbles. The bond and stock markets are both inflated, in my view. But in terms of promoting real economic growth, we're just not seeing it.
And in terms of Bernanke's legacy, I mean, he's out in January. By not doing anything yesterday, he's essentially left this really to the next chairman of the Fed, or chairwoman of the Fed, if it's Janet Yellen. This won't even begin under his tenure necessarily.
Well, no, it won't. It surprises me because I think the longer they stay in, the more difficult it is to get out. And again, I don't think it's helping. It's a little, you know, instead of taking the punch bowl away, they just poured a little more liquor into it. So that's not really something that's going to be sustainable. And we need to get the Fed out of these tremendous intrusions into the markets. Let the economy find its equilibrium. Let's find out how healthy it really is. It would be nice if Congress got its act together and had some fiscal programs like long-term infrastructure spending, fundamental reform of the tax code. Those would be the kinds of things that I think would be stimulative of real economic growth.
Congress, of course, is already causing huge headaches, and Bernanke spent a bunch of time yesterday even talking about what we've already discussed on this program. I mean, can the economy sustain an $85 billion a month drug rehab program, basically a kind of a shock treatment?
It's true. It's a good analogy. I've used it before. It is an addiction. Look, we have no idea where the tentacles of this thing have gone. They need to get out. They need to start getting out. They need to go very slowly. Esther George, the head of the Kansas City Fed, the one dissenting vote, had suggested that they believe publicly that they start with $15 billion, so take it down to 70 from 85. Do that for a while, then ratchet it down a little bit again, but get out. I'm seeing a lot of what I saw, or hearing about a lot of what I saw and witnessed in the lead up to the subprime crisis. When you keep interest rates on safe assets low for this long, lenders, investors go out for yield. They reach for, you know, yield, and they take more risks by reaching for yield. And that's exactly the dynamic we had leading up to the subprime crisis. And I fear now we have the same problem, except this time the bubble's in financial assets, it's not in housing.
If we look globally, is this a program that is helping Europe get through its problems, helping Japan come out of its recession, even though the U.S. economy may pay the price later on?
I don't know. I think long term it doesn't help anyone. You know, just printing paper it is not real economic growth. History has shown the only thing that's real sustainable economic growth is that you actually produce real goods and services that other people find of value and are willing to purchase. Just, you know, the Federal Reserve banks or central banks throughout the world pumping in more cash into the system, you get some short-term pop, and certainly it was needed and justified in 2008 and 2009 to compensate for some of the other things that were going on, but then get out. The economy can't find its equilibrium. It can't find its footing if it's constantly on this drug. I think the addiction analogy is a good one. You feel good about it for a while when you're on a narcotic, but it's actually making your underlying health situation worse.
Let's talk in economic history terms, and you really witnessed a lot of very important economic history during your time at the FDIC. I'm wondering, have we passed the point where Bernanke's legacy, and really did we pass that point yesterday, where the legacy of Bernanke is avoiding catastrophe, and now we're really looking at that's over with, and we've really created a potential new catastrophe from this point on?
Well, it could be. I think history will tell. We just don't know if they're going to be able to exit in a way that's going to avoid market disruptions and another downturn. But again, the sooner they start and go slow, go gradually, but go predictably, the better off they will be. I think Ben will always be favorably remembered as one who avoided a Great Depression. He didn't repeat the mistakes that the Fed made at the onset of the Great Depression by tightening credit conditions. He opened up the spigot wide. That was a good thing to do in 2008 and 2009. But I think now he's making new mistakes by letting this go on far too long. So he avoided a Great Depression. History will always treat him well for this. You know, the legacy of these pronounced and prolonged bond purchases, I think the jury is very much out, and only history will tell whether we can actually exit out of this or not.
Talking with Sheila Bair, chairwoman of the FDIC from 2006 to 2011. This is The Takeaway. Let's leave everyone on a positive note, if we could. Who does this benefit, even if it's just short term?
Well, unfortunately, the top 10% of the population owns the vast majority of financial assets, stocks and bonds. So they have been the primary beneficiaries, unfortunately, of this Fed quantitative easing. But keeping interest rates low a little longer should keep mortgage rates down. They've already gone down a bit. So if you're in there wanting to buy a house, now's probably a good time, because at some point they are going to go back up.
So the Federal Reserve has its asset purchase program, and it may enable some homeowners to purchase some assets, at least between now and sometime next year. Sheila Bair, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Sheila Bair is former FDIC chairwoman from 2006 to 2011, author of Bull by the Horns, Fighting to Save Main Street from Wall Street. Later this hour, we'll hear from a defiant state senator, John Morse, now ousted Colorado Senate president, who was kicked out of office for his support for more restrictive gun control laws. And this week's tragedy in D.C. seems only to have strengthened his resolve.
There are 12 families in the Washington, D.C. area that are going to be going to funerals. And so their right to live has been extinguished in favor of someone else's right to misinterpret the Second Amendment.
More from Colorado's outgoing Senate president this hour. And with Starbucks announcing that firearms are no longer welcome in their stores, we're asking you for your view. Do you agree with Starbucks' decision? Visit our website at thetakeaway.org to take part in our poll.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.